In 1986 and 87, when he was in his early 30s, pianist András Schiff made recordings of a collection of pieces by Johann Sebastian Bach, The Well-Tempered Clavier. It's actually two collections of preludes and fugues in every possible key, major and minor. Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier has been tremendously influential, both in the science and in the art of music, exploring the sound and the feeling of every key as never before, showing that a single instrument could even do such a thing, and doing it with unmatched inventiveness and touching beauty as well. Now, 25 years after his first recordings of these works, András Schiff has again recorded the complete Well-Tempered Clavier by Bach. It's part of a massive undertaking he's calling his Bach Project. András Schiff is joining me on stage at the 92nd Street Y in New York City. Mr. Schiff, welcome.
Thank you.
Why come back to the Well-Tempered Clavier 25 years after those first recordings?
I never left the Well-Tempered Clavier. And every day of my life I start with playing Bach, usually a couple of preludes and fugues from this collection for about an hour. Many of my friends and I myself noticed that I'm playing these pieces somehow not drastically differently from 25 years ago, but it's not the same thing. You see a wider horizon there. So it's work in process, and I'm just, with this passing 25 years, I noticed that I arrived at the next station, and hopefully there will be many more, because as long as I live and I'm lucky to be in good health, I want to continue to explore the mysteries of this music.
You said that you often play some of these pieces first thing when you get up in the morning. What is it about this music that makes you want to start your day with it?
Well, even before breakfast sometimes, because it's like taking care of your inner hygiene. There's something very pure about it. Of course, all of you who take piano lessons, they give you all these etudes and pianistic exercises, playing scales and arpeggi and passages and etudes by Hanon and by Czerny. Of course, you have to learn sometime how to play scales and what is the correct fingering for the C-sharp major scale or the B-flat minor scale. But when I was about 17 or 18 years old, I realized that I don't enjoy this mechanical work of practicing scales and etudes. And I discovered that here is this treasury of Bach. And if I play something like this, the D major prelude or the G major prelude, then even physically, it gives me an immense pleasure, the joy of freedom, the joy of movement. So I don't need those silly exercises because Bach gives me that and much more. It gives me emotional, intellectual, and physical pleasure and satisfaction. So what more can you ask for? The Well-Tempered Clavier is a series of pieces written for all these instruments. We do not know specifically which prelude and which fugue was written for which instrument. We can only guess. My conviction is that when you have music which is very vocal in character, like this one, these are the sospiri, the sighing motive. So if you sing this, if you are a musical person, you cannot sing it any other way. You will sing the second note softer than the first. And you can do this on the piano. You can certainly do it on the clavichord. You cannot do it on the organ and not on the harpsichord. So to me, this is already a clear case. This is not a harpsichord piece and not an organ piece. But then you have, for example, the A minor fugue in book one. And the end of that has this passage. Hear this note, it cannot be played the end of this fugue with two hands alone. So this is the only place where I must use the sostenuto pedal. I'm not using the right pedal, but the middle one on the modern piano, because I must have this bass note alive, and I cannot do it any other way. So this proves to me that this is an organ piece, because the organ is the only keyboard instrument that has that pedal note. And then you have, for example, this D major second book. This is a very brilliant piece, and I can see this played on a two-manual harpsichord. It's perfect. That here you play the lower manual, and now you go on the upper one, lower, upper, because you have an orchestra, a tutti and solo figuration here, and this can be perfectly realized on a two-manual harpsichord. So for an adequate performance of the 48, you would need minimum three instruments: clavichord, harpsichord, and organ. But I dare to say that the modern piano is an instrument that can somehow do justice to all these different pieces.
As you were playing some of those passages just now, we were talking earlier about the pedal, and you said, nope, I don't use it except for one place where I need to hold this pedal tone down. But some of these passages, some pianists use the pedal to smear it a little bit, and you're playing with this incredible clarity. No pedal at all, of course, to make that possible.
Yes, because except for that one place in the A minor fugue, if it was not for that note, I could really just dismantle the pedal from the piano and play the complete keyboard works. I just don't see what the pedal brings to this music. A lot of pianists use the pedal to cover up, because it's very difficult to produce a legato on the piano. And sometimes you do need cantabile and you do need legato, because Bach writes in the preface to the Inventions about the cantabile, the singing art of keyboard playing. Something like this. Something like that. So this, you need a singing playing for this, absolutely.
And when you make the piano sing, what does that mean? What do you do to create that sound?
Well, it's a question of imagination. You sing in your innermost inside, and you try to reproduce it on an instrument that is basically not a singing instrument. So it's very difficult. It's a kind of an illusion. You know, anybody can play one note on the piano. But as Béla Bartók said, the problem starts with the second note. No? What's the connection between those two notes? And that is not so simple. A lot of pianists just play tak, tak. But, you know... And then the alto imitates the soprano. So you can sort of pedal with your hands. It's a contrast because the fugue is a very strict form. Fugues have rules and then they are, I wouldn't say rigid, but very severe, very strict. And he wanted to contrast that with something freer. So the prelude is like an introduction to the fugue. It's much more friendly, let's say. Piece like this. Beautiful pastoral.
This is the E major prelude.
This is the E major prelude. And so I would say that the preludes are character pieces and they always form a contrast with the fugue. And this is where interpretation is very important. You can imagine these preludes and fugues with different characters, but you have to take a stand. You have to have your opinion about it. I have to come out here and say, I believe the piece goes like this. There is no neutral way to play this. I developed the theory about colors basically to explain the unexplainable to myself. To say that music is not just a sequence of notes and symbols. It's not that abstract. And colors do help here because how do you define C major, C minor, C sharp major, C sharp minor, D major? And I thought that this would be very nice to describe this with colors, that when I start on the white keys with C major, then we are white, not just because of the white keys, but there are no accidentals, and to me this is pure innocence. Then I start in the region of different yellows. So like this is the C minor. So to me this is a dark kind of yellow. C sharp. This is a brighter yellow. And then C sharp minor is quite tragic, but this is like a dark orange to me. And then comes something very trumpets and horns, so very brassy, very golden. And then comes the bronze, very dark.
And which key are we in here?
We are still in D minor. Early on. And so then I don't want to go through all the keys because that would bore you to death. But then we go through all the regions of blues and then all the greens and then pink and violet and red. For example, this is like as red as blood can be. A minor and very painful. And then we have a light brown in B flat. Warrior. And then a darker brown in B flat minor. And then very important that B minor is the key of death. So it's pitch black. Kyrie of the B minor Mass is one of the greatest things in the world. And it's a very similar music to the Kyrie of the B minor Mass. Kyrie eleison, have mercy on us.
I have to ask, only because, as you can see, I'm wearing a purple shirt today. Purple is my favorite color. Yeah. You skipped over some of the colors, but you mentioned the word violet.
Yeah.
In the world of Bach, is there a key for you that is violet, that is purple?
To me, it's the G sharp minor. So it's like... and this wonderful fugue. So to me, it's that.
When you associate each key with a color, are you talking about something like a synesthetic experience when you see or imagine that color as soon as you hear the key, or is it more of an imaginative association?
It's more imaginative, and you know, I don't constantly think of this. If to you now G major is yellow and to me it's green, it doesn't matter. The main thing, it is not neutral. The well-tempered clavier, it's like a gigantic journey. Very, very demanding, but very satisfying. It's a wonderful way of sharing this experience with the listeners, and it gives me a sense of belonging, sense of community.
As I listened through your recent recording, I found my own attention shifting perspectives in so many different ways. And one of the ways was shifting back and forth between the micro and the macro. Sometimes a little detail would pull me in, just the sheer beauty or inventiveness of a particular passage by Bach. And then other times I'd find myself floating a little bit and thinking much more, not just about the arc of a single piece, but even the way they connect and move from one piece to another. Mm-hmm. I imagine this must be even all the more intense for you as the pianist, as the person who's creating the experience.
For me, I am still on the middle of my journey. There is no way to get to the end of this. It's too great and it's too complex. There are incredible number of layers here that you have to discover. You can go deeper and deeper, and it's very, very profound.
This big Bach project, playing such a variety of music by Bach in so many different places, so many different settings. For you, who is Johann Sebastian Bach?
We know very little about him. Privately, we don't have anything like, you know, volumes of Mozart's letters, even more volumes of Beethoven's letters and conversation books. We know what Beethoven did every day, basically, what he had for breakfast. We know nothing like that about Bach. And yet somehow from the music, I can only see that humility, modesty, very important, that he has absolutely no ego. This concept of I is non-existent in Bach, the way I see it. He's writing it for us. How was he as a person? I have no idea. But I would have loved just to have heard him play on the organ and improvise on the organ. If I had one wish in life, that I could ask for, that would be to hear Bach play on the organ.
Pianist Andras Schiff. The new recording is a 4-CD set. The complete Well-Tempered Clavier, both books by Bach on the ECM label, is also embarking on the Bach Project, a huge set of tours with lots of different solo repertoire by Bach, concerto appearances with the New York Philharmonic and the San Francisco Symphony as well. It's been a real pleasure to join you in conversation here at the 92nd Street Y in New York City. Andras Schiff, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.